Well, welcome again to the OzBuzz show, or the real estate oriented show. My name is Ozzy Jurek with OzBuzz.ca. I'm really pleased today to have an expert on the apartment building site, and he has a multi-level of years experience starting in 1998. His name is Dan Schulz. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Ozzy. Good to be here.
He's a senior VP at McDonald Realty, and he has a great website, which is at bcapartmentinsider.com. So anyone that is interested in buying an apartment building, absolutely, it's a must go to a website. But what he is really known for is not just buying and selling apartment buildings, but also in the past time when owners that were in an strata building wanted it strata titled, I guess, they would hire you, and you were in the development of that as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Bill 40 came in 2018, and it basically stipulated that the problem we have here in British Columbia, everyone wants to live here. We're surrounded by mountains and oceans. We're running out of land. How does that problem get solved? So what they did for strata buildings, they changed the law that you needed 80% approval to dissolve a strata building and to sell it to a developer to build a bigger building in the same spot. It used to be 100%, of course, as you know, been in real estate all your life, getting 100% approval from all the tenants or owners, it's impossible, right? So, but 80% is not easy to get either. This one particular deal we did at 1830 Alberni, the yes vote to sell was 43 out of 53 owners. And they were all getting triple the value for their condo, and it was still only 81.7%. Yeah. So one vote would have killed the deal and squashed three years of effort.
That is what most people don't realize. In your kind of a world, by the way, I should mention Chris, maybe we should wave. Chris is in the back.
Yeah. Hello, my right-hand man here.
Two of you are together more than 10 years, and you are really the bcapartmentinsider.com team, right?
And
working together.
Well, I chose the name BC Apartment Insider because there's a lot of inside information if you specialize in the asset class and you talk to a broker that knows the market. He or she is usually aware of deals that are not on the MLS. Right. In fact, if you find an apartment building on the MLS, it's usually overpriced, or the realtor is not a specialist in the asset class, right?
So, well, in fact,
BC says the geographic area. We want to let people know that we're active in British Columbia, not just in Vancouver.
Well, it's, you know, we have the Real Estate Action Group, and that's what I tell people. You know, you got to get into the awareness of an apartment building specialist, because there's just few of them. And then, you know, you have to understand that he or she has to know exactly what you're all about, what capital you have, what you're looking for. And then maybe out of the blue, one day you'll get a call, because it's not that there are thousands of apartment buildings for sale, but there are a lot of them for sale. And there's a lot of work that is needed. One of the work that's needed, if you want to have let's say you have a rental building, how do you make it look the best? You know, what are the top rental strategies to get, I guess, the highest and best use out of the building?
Well, I think location is usually the important thing in real estate. You also need to have a building that people want to live in. You know, there's a lot of foreign investment in this particular asset class where the owners are actually not living in the country. And these buildings, if they're not properly managed, and if you don't increase the rents every year, you know, they're dilapidated, your rents go down. And then if you ever do need to sell, and we jokingly say that apartment buildings don't sell unless one of the three D's is true: death, divorce, or darn good reason. Because why would you want to sell these great assets? They're the darling of the investment community. And unlike the residential sector, which does this, apartment buildings in this part of the world, they either go up in value or they're flat. It's very safe and calm. So you asked me earlier, where are the good apartment deals? Well, you know what? To buy a good apartment building, you're going to have to pay market. And it's not like a stock where you could buy it and it goes up next week by 40%. It's slow and steady wins the race. And it's about getting in the market and taking the long view over time. And 1 year is not enough. It takes a while to raise the rents. You got to improve the building. There has to be turnover. And what happens with some of these buildings where the rents aren't raised, and I'm speaking from the point of view of the owner, is when the rents get so low, like I have some buildings in East Van where people are renting a one bedroom for $600. Well, that person will never move out.
Yeah.
Unless they pass away. Yeah. And then when you go to the market with low rents like that, you won't get market value for it, right? Yeah. So it's important to have a good property management company. And location-wise, I would say the Vancouver Island and the Okanagan sort of laterally across the province is a good location. When you go up north to markets like Prince Rupert, Fort St. John, there's cyclical population depending on whether it's winter or summer, depending what resources are being harvested and so forth. So it's a much less steady and consistent population base up north, whereas you look at Vancouver Island and the Okanagan,
sure,
and you know we're adding so many people to the Lower Mainland every year, and people are retiring or they're moving to Vancouver Island or the Okanagan, where you can still afford a house. I mean, the average price of a home in Vancouver now is $3 million. Yeah. I tell my friends in Germany in that, and they think it's crazy.
Well, not just the friends in Germany. Well, the thing is, looking at it from the perspective of the owner, so if I want to get my building ready before the sale, what should I be doing?
Well, you know, I've had instances where you give the building a fresh coat of paint, make sure the lobby is welcoming. It's also good to identify some tenants who are okay with being disturbed a little bit. You know, I know the law says 24 hours of notice. I like to give people 48. You like to interview certain people. And then you also want to keep it low key. So, you know, maybe the owner doesn't want the tenants to know that the building's for sale. So you have to go to the showings not wearing a suit and keep it very low key, right? And I had one instance where a client had hired another realtor who wasn't an expert, and they decided to slap a for sale sign on the 34 unit apartment building. Well, the owner's phone wouldn't stop ringing, and I think he probably had to hire a bodyguard. But
that was all the tenants.
That kind of thing. Yeah. Pardon me?
That was all the tenants.
Yeah, I mean, they don't want to. They think that they're going to have to move or the case may be.
But
often that's not the case, right?
And that's why you need an expert. You need somebody that's in the business. I mean, myself and my partners about 10, 12 years ago, we bought and sold just under 2,000 units in British Columbia in all mostly small towns. And we were using the skip transfer method, and we don't have to go into that today. But the key was that, yes, we had to, we sometimes put an awning over the little driveway, and we certainly cleaned up the lobbies. We sometimes put in half wooden walls along the hallways just to expose, but people live there.
Yeah. Buildings that have balconies tend to be easier to rent and to find good tenants.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say that, and then there's also things like in-suite laundry and dishwashers. Yes, that requires more maintenance, but at the same time, you might attract a better quality tenant, right? So it depends on what type of tenants you're targeting, what you want to offer. There's a happy medium. You can go over the top and put up art in the hallways and give everybody free cable, but that might not necessarily be the best way to run a building. So
it depends. Like I know we had I used to go and talk to the property manager or the building manager and making sure that he was actually living there or he was close by. And I would ask him, what kind of people live here? And then sometimes they would tell me, well, they're all old couples, you know, they don't know. Or they would say, well, I just wish they wouldn't be selling drugs out of the main floor. You know, you find out things by just asking some questions, and you realize that, you know, owning a building needs some studying, and maybe you need to clean up. In fact, we increased the values by not charging for cable. You know, we added that to the rent in this particular building. There's always something that you can do on a building, but you need an expert on your side. Now, look, in Vancouver, buildings have gone
just under. To finish off that point, Ozzy, I think it's also very important, and my mentor taught me this 25 years ago in the first month or so, the key to a good building is a good caretaker.
Yeah.
you know.
Absolutely.
And if you allow pets, you're going to be able to charge a little bit more rent, but you don't want to have, you know, guy with three dogs move in that are large German Shepherds or something like that.
Yeah, or a Saint Bernard.
You have to have, or Saint Bernards, you have to have a caretaker who's sort of good at gauging what type of people are coming in, do your criminal checks, do the background checks, and, you know, move in inspection. You got to do all your paperwork and cross your I's and dot your T's, so to speak.
Yeah, I know. There's no question. Even when I used to rent out single family houses and people saying pets, I said, yes, but no St. Bernards, because I've seen a house with St. Bernards and the backyard was no longer a backyard. It was, you know, a cesspool. Anyhow, the point is that's all experience. Okay, so now I'm in Vancouver. I expect a capital gain, right? I'm hoping that the building will go up in value. People come here. Mm-hmm. What about in small towns? Is there the same kind of expectations that I would have? Let's say I invest in Prince George or Fort St. John or somewhere else.
I think the same rules apply. And I think one really important thing to look at, and this wasn't looked at much 40 years ago, is when you buy the building, you should set up a company and a bear trust so that when you go to sell the building, you know, decades down the road, the purchaser can buy the company and save property purchase tax. We have a building right now in
that's a great point
in Comox where the owners put the building in their personal names 30 years ago, and now that's costing them about $600,000 on the sale.
Yeah,
it's a lot of money, right? It's this kind of thing that you have to pay attention to. And then say if you get a loan to renovate a building before you sell it, make sure that there's not a huge discharge penalty on the mortgage you get. In fact, you should get a line of credit from a bank, because when you sell the building, there's no discharge fee at all to selling it. We have one case where the guy got a small $2 or $3 million loan to do the renovations in preparation for the sale. He replaced all the balconies. And, you know, relative to the value of the building, it was a small loan. But turns out the discharge fee on that small $2.5 million loan was $670,000.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't get out of that. That's the mortgage you signed. So when you just focus on the low rate to get the mortgage, but don't look at the end game in the future, you're shooting yourself in the foot. So you got to be sure you do all the right things, and a guy like me will guide you.
Well, that's so important. I feel that way, that we want a professional in almost everything. I need a professional mortgage broker, for instance, particularly if I'm an investor. You know, he might take a look at my personal wherewithal and say, well, I don't bother you with the banks, you go to here. You know, a mortgage broker will direct you. Well, a person that's involved in apartment buildings all day long, he'll know what makes a building sing, you know, what makes it go up in value and what makes it go down in value. Now,
and mortgage brokers, they don't sell line of credits. That's the banks do that. So they probably won't even point that out to you. You know, you have to be really careful.
Yeah, exactly. So now let's say you have a building in a smaller town. Generally speaking, is there a rule of thumb? Is it always the cap rate that determines value? Or
the cap rate in general, you should think about it in terms of risk. The higher your risk, the higher your return. So when you look at a building in Kitsilano, you have a very low cap rate because you always have a lineup of tenants, your rents are moving, and you should keep your rents at market. In markets like Kitsilano or South Granville, you should have about a 30% turnover of your tenants every year if you're moving with the market. Now in Kerrisdale, you won't find that because there's a lot of seniors living there and they don't move as much.
All right.
The students, they like to go to closer to the beach, South Granville, where there's more action. And that's where there will be more turnover. In a small town, you'll have a higher return than you will in Vancouver. Like Merritt, for example, will have a higher return.
Really?
You go out further east, like Winnipeg, you'll have a higher return. We probably have the lowest cap rates in the country here. And we have the most realtors chasing the business. So the commissions are the lowest in the country. And it's a very competitive market. If you want to sell apartment buildings like I do, if you're not a specialist, you won't get much business. And we don't really have a lot of buildings that are greater than 100 units here in BC, right? You go to Toronto or Los Angeles, much bigger buildings, less realtors on a per capita basis. And it's just a bigger game, right? So it depends on where you want to live.
Well, the whole idea about cap rates is, people don't understand, well, how come when the cap rate is higher, then the value goes down, and the cap rate is lower, the value is up. We've seen that in the United States. We have a group of investors that bought, you know, almost like 30 to 40 apartment buildings. And with the huge increase in interest cost, you know, the building was occupied, for everything was great, wonderful. But because of the cost, all of a sudden, well, cap rate ended up going much, much higher, and the values have come down dramatically. So that's an important thing. For me, I always look at cap rates as to the general value in a city. If I know the average cap rate in Vancouver is 3% and in Calgary it's 8%, I have a general understanding what the market might be like for a given apartment.
That's pretty high for Calgary. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm just, yeah. Well, Calgary, you know, I mean, our group, we bought 33 condos in Edmonton a couple of years ago when it wasn't as popular as it is now. But their market is also turning a little. Anyways, now there's always the question, why don't I just buy condos?
It's again, the argument with a condo, you don't have any land underneath it. It's vertical subdivision, right? And it's the next best thing to a house. A house is a little less turbulent than a condo. But as soon as you get into the commercial asset classes, where in apartment buildings, you have people living there who will live there and need a place to live even when the economy goes down, it's much more secure. So residential condo market does this, whereas apartment buildings, they go up or they're flat. And you can go back 50, 60 years in British Columbia, there's not really a downturn in value.
Well, and then you have a strata corporation to deal with, right? And if it's a well-run strata corporation, which most of them today are probably not, you know, as you pointed out, if there's a lot of absentee owners, they don't want to spend any money on it, and the building value might actually go down.
Well, if you enjoy 11 o'clock at night meetings once a month, then you should buy a condo.
But it's no question, you know, everybody dreams about owning that 10 or that 20 suiter, right? But it has to be bought carefully. Okay, what about, you can never get away from tax strategies. What are the strategies that you should look at in order to get the best capital gain?
Well, the one I did mention was you put the building in a bear trust when you buy it. Yeah. And I have to add that in British Columbia, or even in Canada, if you have four or less units, you're still a residential building. If you have five or more, then it becomes a business, right? So that's also important. I myself live in a fourplex, a small little apartment building. I live on the top floor and I have three tenants, but I'm still subject to a residential mortgage.
Right? Interesting.
So it's kind of a nice way to get into that market and you see if you like managing tenants. And when you only have four units, it's usually best for you to do it yourself.
I know my first apartment block, I had seven suites. And when I was very young, I was wearing my leather jacket and a white T-shirt and very thin jeans. And I went to see my girlfriends in a building, and the manager would always come out and say, where are you going with that six pack? You're going to have a party? And I would argue with him. I'd say, hey, if I have a party, I'd have two dozen beer, right? I would always argue with the management. I thought, if I'm a manager, I'm going to be friendly to my tenants, right? And then I realized, I also had a restaurant down below. I realized, you know, they all had an account for fish and chips in my restaurant. They were borrowing money to buy cigarettes. And then I saw them buy the fish and chips next door. And then the rent was always late. And then one day I just had enough. I couldn't be love. Love is not, you can't get love from your tenants. But you can.
I've made the same mistake. Yeah,
you can get respect. And that's why I said, look, this building, the bank owns it. I own the front door. And when you're late, even one day, it annoys me. If you don't have your money ready on the end of the month, prepare to move out on the first. Now, these were long time ago, and I was a larger, loud person. All of a sudden, I had respect. Nobody owed me money. You know, so it's really, you can't have love, because a tenant will always.
Yeah, you got to keep the distance. Yeah.
You have to have a respect. Anyways, I see that.
You mentioned that you had a seven suiter. There's an issue up there with Arnold. Why is Arnold Schwarzenegger an apartment building owner? And I was in the Dominican Republic in 2013, and I bought his book at the airport and just read his life story. And it was kind of applicable to what I do for a living. In fact, so Arnold came from Austria. We all know his story. And he befriended the owner of Gold's Gym, who was a real estate expert. And after Arnold started his bricklaying business and then moved into mail order catalogs, he bought a 6-unit apartment building and managed it himself. So, you know, if Arnold Schwarzenegger was my landlord and came to the door asking for the rent, I'd probably pay up, right? And yeah. The interesting thing is when you look at his career and the movies he made, like he was a millionaire before he made Conan because he bought a small apartment building thanks to the owner of Gold's Gym.
Yeah.
And he had the luxury of waiting for the right movie part to come along. He didn't have to make movies he didn't want to make. He was never desperate.
Yeah.
Right. And this is the security of an apartment building explained by his interesting life. So
no question that, you know, real estate has changed the life of thousands of people. When I look at our action group, which we formed 23 years ago, you know, hundreds and hundreds of joint ventures were created that did buy initially maybe the duplex and then a fourplex and a tenplex. And in some cases, hundreds of units were put together. But the person that went into apartment buildings early, when apartment building, when suites and on Commercial Drive was still under 100,000, you know, they became millionaires. They did nothing else. He bought one 10-suite apartment building in the year 2000 and you did nothing else but simply wait, because in an inflationary world, real hard assets go up in values, and apartment buildings are the best ones there. Now, I noticed
I was going to say that the apartment building owners that understand the game, they always say, take the long view, right? It's not a 5-year view, it's a 30-year view.
Yeah.
And one of the guys that I was taught by in the business, Barry Groberman, he was selling apartment buildings in the West End in the 1950s. And back then, a wood frame unit was $5,000 a unit and a concrete unit was $10,000. Not that there were a lot of concrete units back then. When I started in the business in 1998, the price per suite, and that's the other metric that's used a lot other than cap rate, is you look at the price per suite. And it was $70,000 a door in the West End. This building I sold was 1225 Nelson, $70,000 a door. And the other one was at First in Arbutus, which was $125,000 a door.
Wow.
Now Kitsilano is sometimes $500,000 to $600,000 a door. The West End was at 500. It's gone down a little bit to 400,000. I know I said earlier the prices don't go down, but 2023 was tough. You know, interest rates going up 6 times. That's never been seen in Vancouver or BC or Canada. So the volume across all commercial asset classes, whether it's industrial, retail, office, was down 75%.
Yeah.
And if you sort of look at the risk in commercial real estate, the lowest risk is multifamily. Then you have industrial, and apartment owners are usually pure apartment building owners, or they own a little bit of industrial, or vice versa. They own industrial and apartment, because those are the necessities of life. Goods in industrial buildings, and you need a roof over your head, right? And then when you go up to higher risk, you've got retail and office, right? You lose a law firm in an office building that takes up 3 floors. That's not going to be easy to replace. You lose a tenant in an apartment building. Well, in this part of the world, you've got a huge lineup.
Yeah.
People are giving you money to get the unit, et cetera, right?
Yeah. Well, lawyers in particular are downsizing, right? You don't need all these rows and rows of books. You know, you have it all on a computer. You have everything there. Well, the big thing is that we keep coming back to that, but you need experts, but you also need to understand the market. My headline in my OSBAS newsletter in April 2022 was, I felt the high was in place. The average price in Surrey clocked in at $1,980,000. I thought, the average, any old piece of junk in Surrey is $2 million. What does it mean for a regular, nicer looking house? Is it 2.5 or 3 million? That's why I said the high is in place. In fact, 4 months after that, I kept getting arguments from realtors. You don't know what you're talking about. And we kept on, the high in place was my headline almost, you know, right there. Well, the market took a real dive into the December. That average price in Surrey went down as much as $1.3 million and then recovered a little bit in early 2023. The point is, even today, it's only back to $1.5 million. But I think that right now and I'm talking about the single family house in Surrey. But if I look at the market right now, while in 2022 and 23, I told everybody, really sell your losers anyway, sell anything that is not cash flow. Right now, we have a buyer's market when buyers actually should come out of the woodworks. You know, I mean, for some reason, I keep saying this, there's a good market is when six buyers wrestle each other to the ground in the living room of the owner and pay $100,000 more than the guy even wants. Whereas today, the realtor has time, the mortgage broker has time, there's product out there that you can look at. Would you say there's more product out there in the apartment building side as well?
Well, that's the main difference between residential and commercial. And in residential, as an investor or even a realtor, there's a much closer balance of supply and demand. And as a realtor, you can work with buyers or sellers in the residential sector. In my business, the supply is always down here and the demand is up here. So, you know, people describe the apartment building market as a buyer's market. No, it's not. It's just the demand has gone down a little bit, but the supply is still very, very low. We have a capital gains tax, and that's why I said earlier, they don't really come to market unless one of the three D's is true, death, divorce, or darn good reason.
Yeah.
And most people should buy real estate and never sell it.
Oh, right. Well, that's a proverb in many religions, even where you say real estate is for owning, right? You buy it and you keep it.
Yeah. Well, your market is much more. I mean, I know you are in the commercial sector as well, but it's a much more speculative market, the residential sector.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Apartment buildings are kind of like blue chip stocks, the safest thing you can buy.
Well, the thing is that there will always be deals, but most of the deals you never in life, you never get what you deserve, you get what you negotiate, right? If you're going to go out there and you have a good deal or you have structured a good deal, I noticed that you have a deal where the vendor seems to be more open to vendor takebacks. And
yes.
And then in another deal that I see, you have sort of creative deals. There's an assumable mortgage at 3.7%, or there's a good sweet mix. All of those things to create value.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one I think you're referring to is the Prince George building, and that was a newly built purpose rental building. And unfortunately, you know, it costs the same to build a 56-unit building in Prince George as it does in Vancouver.
Yeah.
So you're into it for $400,000 a door. Now, because this particular building is in Prince George, which is a great market, they've got a university, it's growing, it costs a lot to build this building. And so it's a good deal in the sense that whoever buys it will get a very high quality building because it was built to condo quality. But the rates make it very hard to buy something like that right now. So we actually went to the apartment conference in Toronto recently, and the trend there was, or the talk was giving vendor take-back mortgages to buyers to bridge that gap between the market value and what it costs, just to allow them to buy it. Mm-hmm. I mean, these interest rates going up as much as they did is unheard of in BC, and a lot of people got into trouble, including myself.
Yeah.
Right? My interest rate on my fourplex was floating, and I also renovated houses on the side for many years, and that never hurt us. But this time it sure hurt us. My mortgage payment doubled in 2023. You know, and then I tried to do Airbnb, and with Airbnb, you're not qualifying the tenants yourself. And I got some good war stories for you. But it's always best if you yourself or your caretaker that you trust qualifies the tenants. With Airbnb, you've got guys sitting in Ireland or Colombia qualifying the tenants. And as your son or daughter may know from internet dating, people are never as they seem on their profile, right? You got to meet the people in person.
No question about it. And that's, you know, that's a market. To me, you know, in my first book in 1998, I have my basic principle is very simple with Milton Friedman, that inflation in all hard assets is primarily a financial monetary phenomena, meaning that you print more money, prices go up. So on that basis, since 1998, I said, if we kept on printing money like we did from 1965 to 1998, every house in Vancouver will be worth 5 million. Well, the West Side is already over 4 million. And I didn't think that would happen till 2030. But I did always think it was going to be higher values. And I feel the same way now. When we have a reversal in the market right now, the things that concern me a little is why is Warren Buffett and $300 billion in cash? And why does Jamie Dimon saying get into cash? What do they know that I don't know? But with Trump's victory this week, Maybe there's more certainty in the market. And I think that in the long run, to buy an apartment building is probably one of the best things you can do, because whoever is selling right now, maybe there will be that vendor take back, or maybe there's a good CMHC mortgage that can be assumed. But in any case, you need an expert to sort out the good from the bad.
Well, I've been doing this for 26 years now, and I've sold over $1 billion in apartment buildings. And never once have I had a buyer say, "Dan, I wish I hadn't have done that." You know, yeah. Everybody is happy over time.
Yeah, I regret.
You know, sometimes it's tough to manage tenants and so forth, but
yeah.
It's just really the safest thing you can do with your family's wealth.
Yeah, and so that's that. It doesn't matter whether you're a small investor in buying a house or a condo, or whether you venture out into fourplexes or duplexes. What would be the lowest price per suite you have right now for sale?
I would say you go up north. I've sold some buildings in Houston, British Columbia, not Houston, Texas. And, you know, you've got $30,000 a door up there, but you've also got buildings that are half vacant and people are starting fires and cooking their suites in there with a bonfire in their unit. You know, that's not necessarily
not so
the kind
good
of building you want to own.
Yeah. But let's say my first building actually that I bought with partners was in Fort St. John. You have something for sale in Fort St. John. What would be the price rate in?
We sold a new purpose-built rental up there. Here, do you want to grab that real quick? And that was a newly built building in Fort St. John, gorgeous building, but it was still $180,000 a door, not that cheap, right? And then we have an older one in Fort St. John. What's the price per door on that one?
Around 125, I would say.
Yeah. This was a new building in Fort St. John that we just sold back in April.
And how much for suite was that?
That was about $180,000 a door, which is probably the highest price per suite in Fort St. John. And then we have an older one, a 15-plex, which is about $120,000 a door.
But, so at $120,000 a door, and what would be the rental income approximately?
What are the monthly rents in that building, Chris?
Off the top of my head, I'd have to check.
Yeah. I'd say you're looking at, you're still hovering between $800 and $1,100 a suite per month, So which is pretty low.
But it's pretty low. It's not really break-even territory yet, unless we
get. What you want to look at, like if you have a new building, it's got to be well built. But really, the ideal investment, the investment that everyone wants, is a building that's a bit run down where the rents aren't at market.
Yeah,
and you can go in there and either, you know, there's different strategies of doing it. There's the renovictors, which, you know, they end up in the newspaper, and it's not a good thing. But then there's also other owners where they go in and they say, "Would you like a new stove? Would you like a new fridge?
Right.
Would you like a renovated kitchen?" And they kind of give them a menu if they can afford it. Okay, we'll raise your rent by a certain amount, and then you get to have new appliances and a new kitchen, or we'll renovate your bathroom. And that's sort of the more humane way to do it, I think.
Yeah, I think Janet LePage in the United States, that was her model, was washing machines and dryers. She would go to the tenant and say, "Would you want a washing machine and dryer?" And the wife of the house would wrestle her husband to the ground if he said no on the washing machine and dryer, right? Because he didn't have to run around with the laundry to the communal laundromat. But that's how they increased value. They also increased value by having storage facility for Amazon deliveries, like you could rent a box and it was like $20 a month, or fencing the yard. They had all sorts of little ideas to increase value. Well, it's a unique business, but the one thing is for sure, anybody can sell a house and anybody can sell a condo, but to sell an apartment building, you better have somebody with experience and know-how and knowledge and somebody that has been wounded in battle of the multi-level market on your side.
You can't, I mean, experience is priceless. I had some great teachers who took me under their wing, and now I get to do the same thing with Chris, and it's fun, right?
Sure.
So,
thank you very much for taking the time. I'm glad that you could make it. Now we're going to have, if you want to get in touch with Dan or Chris, we're going to have their contact information below in the description. And we also take the, if you listen to us on podcast, go to the website, which is bcapartmentinsider.com, and you can get in direct contact with them there. Thank you very much, and happy
hunting. Thank you, Ozzy. I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Happy hunting.
All right. Thank you, sir. Take care.